I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Thanks for listening. The Mars Science Lab Curiosity, a six-wheeled rover the size of a Mini Cooper, is set to land on Mars early Monday morning. Dr. Steve Squires, professor of astronomy at Cornell University and principal investigator for the Mars Exploration Rover, is on the phone with Cincinnati Edition contributor astronomer Dean Regas to talk about the mission.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Well, late Sunday night, early Monday morning marks a big day for Martian exploration. The Mars Science Laboratory with the Curiosity rover is scheduled to land. Are you getting excited about this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime you land something on Mars, it's a bit of a white-knuckle event. We're very excited, a little nervous, feeling ready, and we'll see what happens.
Well, and the Curiosity rover aside, I mean, there's a lot going on Mars, on and around Mars currently. What are some of the current missions?
Oh, well, we've got a lot going on Mars. Yeah, there are several orbiters in orbit around Mars. There's the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter that's been there since 2006. There's the Mars Express spacecraft, which is a European spacecraft, and then there's the Mars Odyssey spacecraft that we launched in 2001. So there's three orbiters in orbit around the planet, and then we've got the Opportunity rover, which we launched in 2003, that's still trundling around after 8.5 years on the planet.
And so the rovers, you work the principal investigation, or you are the principal investigator for the Mars Exploration rovers. That's Spirit and Opportunity. What's the status on those two right now?
Well, the status on Spirit is that we lost the vehicle after about 6 years of operations on Mars. Now, that was a sad event for us, but given that it was only designed to last for 3 months, we felt pretty good about the 6 years.
Went way beyond the warranty, huh?
Yeah, way beyond warranty. And Opportunity is still going strong after 8.5 years. We're exploring a place called Endeavour Crater now with Opportunity, which is very different from any place that rover's ever been. We just arrived there about a year ago, and it's pretty exciting times with that vehicle.
And so what's the legacy of Spirit and Opportunity? I mean, they seem to have such a long life to them, and what have they shown us?
You know, that's a tough question for me. I think about that a lot, obviously, because I've been involved in it for so long, but I'm so close to it, it's kind of hard for me to assess the legacy. I guess the real legacy of those vehicles primarily is that they have shown us that Mars a long time ago was a very different world from what it is today. Today, Mars is cold and dry and desolate, very inhospitable to life. But we can tell now from the results of the rovers that in the past it was different. There was water below the surface. There was water at the surface. There were hot springs. There were flows of water across the surface. There was acid groundwater. There was a lot of fascinating stuff that would have made Mars a much more suitable place for life back then than it is now.
Well, one of the more fascinating jobs to me would be Mars rover driver.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about what it's like to be a Mars rover driver? I mean, do you have to live on Mars time or Earth time?
Well, okay. You can live on Mars time or Earth time. The way we tend to do it is very early in the mission, right after you land, everybody on the project lives on Mars time. And then after a few months, you sort of get used to things and you switch over to people living on Earth time. The difference between Mars time and Earth time is 39 minutes a day. So a Martian day is 24 hours and 39 minutes long. And you might think it would be good to be able to sleep in an extra 39 minutes each day, but it is not. What happens is your schedule cycles around relative to Earth time. And so if you're going to work at noon today, 2.5 weeks from now, you're going to be going to work at midnight, and it just moves around. It's a very, very weird schedule to work. Now, as far as driving the rover is concerned, you know, what you might picture is a joystick and a throttle, but it's nothing like that. Driving a rover basically involves writing software. It involves writing hundreds of lines of software code every day in a special language that the rover understands, telling it what it should do each day.
And there's a lag time, too. It's not like you can say, go forward, and it immediately goes forward.
Yeah, that's right. There is a significant lag time. The lag time depends on where the two planets are in their orbit, but it's anywhere from as little as 3.5 minutes for a radio signal to get from Earth to Mars at the speed of light when the planets are really close, to as much as 20 minutes when they're on opposite sides of the sun. So, yeah, with that long delay, you can't joystick the vehicle. You have to basically send it a set of commands, tell it, this is everything we want you to do today, and then it'll just spend the day executing those commands.
Well, let's get back to the big event. The Curiosity rover will be landing on Mars on early Monday.
That's right.
And NASA shared this video. It's called the 7 Minutes of Terror,
yeah.
Which refers to, you know, the 7 minutes, critical minutes prior to landing. So what is the what's the terror part about the 7 minutes, and what's it like to be in the control room during landing?
Well, you go from Mach 27 at the top of the atmosphere to on the surface in 7 minutes. It's a very, very quick, very violent ride. You ask what it's like in the control room. It's funny to use the word control room for that place, because while there are a lot of things there, one thing that we don't have in the control room is any control. Because things are unfolding so rapidly at Mars, and it's so far away, with the time that it takes for the radio signal to travel at the speed of light being longer than it takes for the thing to land, you can't control it at all. The people in the control room are just spectators with better seats. So it's a real kind of nail-biting event. You know, you pour years of your life into this thing, you pour billions of dollars into it, you build the best piece of hardware you can, and then come landing day, it's on its own. And it's, if you build it right, and you have a good day on Mars, it works. And if you have a bad day on Mars, it doesn't. And there's nothing you can do.
And it's really more than 7 minutes for the people in the control room. I mean, you have to wait for the lag time, too. It must be an eternity.
Well, what happens is, put it this way, when you first see the spacecraft beginning to interact with the upper fringes of the Martian atmosphere, the reality is that it's already on the surface. You just don't know what's happened.
Hmm.
It's a strange thing.
Yeah.
Just a simple sort of word like now becomes complicated when things like the speed of light start getting involved.
I'm speaking with Steve Squires. He's a professor at Cornell University, and we're talking about the Mars Science Laboratory and the Curiosity rover scheduled to land here early Monday. Now, when I also watched the video, The 7 Minutes of Terror, the NASA engineers used the word crazy several times when referring to the landing design.
Uh-huh.
How is this landing system a little different than the other ones?
It's different. The system that we used for our rovers was pretty crazy looking, too. For ours, we inflated these airbags, kind of make a giant beach ball around the rover and around the lander. It would bounce, 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 bounce when it hit the surface. This one uses a technique called a sky crane, where it uses rocket motors to descend close to the surface, and then when you get real close, you lower the rover down basically on a rope. You lower it on a cable, and then when it touches the surface, you cut the cable and the rocket motor thing flies away, and there's the rover sitting on the surface. But it all happens really fast, and it's a crazy thing to watch. I mean, it's a very interesting way of trying to land on Mars.
And it seems a little overly complicated in some ways to the outside observer, especially.
Well, you know, it's funny. The actual process of touchdown looks pretty complicated, and indeed it is. But the thing that you're missing when you watch that is, with our rovers, what had to happen after the airbags bounced. Because the airbags would finish their bouncing, and then you deflate the airbags, and then the lander has to open up. And then there's days of having this rover, which is all folded up, do origami in reverse, kind of unfolding itself, and then, you know, springs and motors and hinges and gears and latches and all that stuff, so it's finally ready to drive down off the lander and onto the Martian surface. With this sky crane event, you avoid all of that complexity. You touch down on the surface, you got 6 wheels in the soil, and you're ready to go. So there's complexity here, complexity there, take your pick.
And, I mean, there's a lot riding on this, too. I mean, I look at the success rate of the airbags is 100%.
Yep.
The other methods are not so good.
It's been mixed. The U.S. has landed successfully on Mars twice with Viking, once with airbags with Pathfinder, once with rocket motors with Phoenix, and twice successfully with Spirit and Opportunity. There was also one unsuccessful landing with the Mars Polar Lander. So our track record is pretty good. This is a different technique than has ever been used before. So as I say, it's going to be a little bit nerve-wracking. The problem with airbags is that on our rover mission, our rovers are a lot smaller than Curiosity, and we pushed the airbag technology as far as it would go. We barely got the airbags to work, and this rover is much bigger and much heavier. There's no way you would get that airbag system to work with these rovers.
All right, I mean, because Curiosity is the size of a small car.
Yeah,
pretty
it's
much,
a big, so heavy vehicle, and you couldn't land it with anything like our airbag system.
Yeah. Well, what do you hope they find on Mars with Curiosity?
Well, to me, the really exciting thing about Curiosity is that it has the capability to look for and to detect organic molecules inside of Martian rocks. We have reason to suspect that conditions were right on Mars for life early in its history, but what we don't know about is what was there in the way of the fundamental building blocks of life, the organic stuff from which life is made. And if there's anything like that preserved, I'm not talking about remnants of life itself, I'm just talking about the fundamental building blocks. If the stuff that life is made of was present on Mars, this vehicle has the potential to detect it.
Well, I've been speaking with Steve Squires, professor at Cornell University, and also the principal investigator for the Mars Exploration Rovers. Thanks so much for talking with us this morning.
Okay, enjoy talking to you. Take care.
To find out more about the Mars Science Laboratory and the Curiosity Rover, visit our website, wvxu.org. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Dean Regas.